Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
I'm not sure how Skype video recording works. Is Pat Lane from Pat's Pulpit back once again. We know that Keegan's been here. Ryan Spaggs has been here. Now, Pat, you're back on the show. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here Thursday night, getting ready for the weekend. I'm ready to go. I'm happy that it's the weekend.
Exactly. And you know what? We're actually now officially under 4 months away from the start of the regular season of the National Football League. So another good thing to look forward to. Weekend, schedule's out, draft's over with. Which yep. I know is still like some depression from that, just because it's like this thing you worked for, like you worked up for, and then all of a sudden it's gone. But right. You know what? Now it's like we're starting to get the gears in motion, if you will, towards the start of the season.
Yeah, well, rookie minicamp's going on right now, isn't it? I mean, it's not open to the public, but going on right now, which is cool. So we're happy to see that. And of course, you know, it's funny because some places have it open. The Patriots really haven't had it open ever. But I remember as a kid, geez, back in 94, 95, maybe even 96, I don't know, going to old Foxborough Stadium. And at that time, the pro shop was in a trailer, and going and like asking rookies for autographs and stuff, and getting autographs from Dave Wolaba, who went to Syracuse and actually left the Patriots in the expansion draft in 99, and was the first starting center for the new Cleveland Browns in 99. When they came back. So it was just interesting. We actually, funny story there, Kendrick Bullard, who was a guy who was a kick returner for the Patriots, didn't make the team, but we're in the pro shop. My mom is buying a jacket for my dad. And we're literally, I mean, when I say it's a trailer, like I'm being serious. It was an actual trailer. Like the pro shop was in a trailer. And she's like going to buy this thing. And she just started talking to this kid, and they were just chatting and this and that. And he's like, oh, he's like, why don't you use my discount? And she's like, oh, she's like, do you work here? And he's like, yeah, I'm a player. She was like, what? And this kid was like the nicest kid ever. And she was like, hey, she's like, you know, if you make the team, like come over. Well, you know, he was from like Florida or something like that. And she was like, you know, this and that. Like he was talking about how he missed home cooked meals. And she was like, listen, you know, come by anytime. You know, I love to cook. Like you can come by and have like a dinner or whatever. And she gave him like the house number. And then we were like, you know, well, I'm like, mom, what are you doing? Like the guy's not going to call you, you know, like, what are we doing here? You know? And like 2 weeks later, the kid calls up and he's like, hey, how's it going? Like, Mrs. Lane, how are you doing? This and that. And like, you know, and then we just chatted like for, you know, him and my dad and my mom chatted for like 5 or 10 minutes or whatever. And he ended up getting cut. I think he latched on with Jacksonville for the year, just as like a special teams guy or something like that. But it was so cool. I was like, imagine if that kid had made the team and like comes over for like a, you know, for like a family dinner night or something like that. It would have been so cool. But it wasn't meant to be, you know?
Exactly. But that's just such a cool story, though. Even the fact that still you got to talk to him and that he actually called. It's not like, oh, hey, yeah, I'll do this. Like,
right.
Imagine a day there's a family in like the Foxborough or like, is it North Attleboro that's near there?
North Attleboro. Yeah, I know that. Wait, North Attleboro's pretty decently close. Yeah, all Foxborough, right, Walpole, around there. Yeah, yeah. No, well, it's, why would you know the surrounding towns to Foxborough? You know what I mean?
All I know is that it's 40 minutes south from downtown Boston, I believe.
Yep.
But the fact, like, imagine now it's like a family's there, and it's just like, oh, hey, who are you? It's like, oh, I'm Christian Barmore. Yeah, right. We're missing home, right. And it's just like, do you want to come over? It's probably like, thanks, but no thanks.
Right, right. Yeah. No, it's just kind of funny, you know?
Yeah. The other thing I was just remembering, too, is the last time you and I talked was a few days before the chaos ensued, if you will, and we had no idea what we were doing. And then I remember – I'll always remember March 15th and 16th well, because I remember – free agency had opened, like, the legal tampering window, right. And then my girlfriend and I decided to go driving, and then all of a sudden, like, we had to go run some errands, and she just looks at me, hey, who's, she's like, Jonnu Smith, and I'm like, okay, I'm like, all right, I'm driving, I wish I wasn't driving.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, cool, if we don't get Hunter Henry, that's fine. Next day I'm at work, I open Twitter, I see Schefter, I'm like, like, it's like one of those, like, the scratch your eye moment. It's just like the best of both worlds that we got both of them. But, like, I feel like the draft and free agency couldn't have gone better for the Patriots.
Yeah, free agency was unbelievable. I mean, we do our instant reaction podcast. And so I did an instant reaction podcast on my prep period that day because, you know, they signed Jonnu Smith and it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh, perfect. This is my prep. Like, great. So I record it. I go live on Twitter, but I also recorded it at the same time. So then I post it. I post it 5 minutes after I post it. They had signed someone else. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what the hell's happening? And so then they have the boom on the first day. And you're like, this is great. Like, you know, they signed Aguilar. They signed Kendrick Bourne. They signed Jonnu Smith. They signed Matthew Judon. You're like, oh my God, they're spending all this money. This is amazing. And then we had a discussion the first night. The first night, it was me, Spags, Brian Phillips, and Ryan Kieran, and we're like, hey, you know, Jonnu Smith probably fits what the Patriots do better than Hunter Henry does anyways. Like, oh, it's a good signing by them to go get Jonnu Smith, and, you know, so we didn't end up with Hunter Henry, and it's surprising because we all thought the Bill loved him, but, like, yeah, you know, we can see why he did it. And the next day, you wake up, and it's like, they did what? I remember I posted my response, the gift that I co-tweeted Schefter's report with was Vince Lombardi, and I just, that's that old, like, NFL films where he's like, what the hell's going on out there? And I was just like, I'm like, what? Like, we signed Smith, now we're signing Hunter Henry. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And that's, I think that one, I mean, it was awesome that first day, but the Hunter Henry signing just took everyone off guard because you're like, wait, we got both of them? And of course, everyone else that wanted a tight end is pissed because we signed the two best ones, and you're like, God damn it, like, we couldn't get either of them? And so it, you know, worked out for the Patriots. I think they're, you know, and Austin said it on our show, which will be out tomorrow morning, that, you know, the Patriots are the most improved team in the offseason. They improved more than any team in the offseason and by leaps and bounds more, right? And you could say, oh, you know, the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford, and, you know, the Dolphins signed Will Fuller, and the Jets, you know, drafted a quarterback, and the Jaguars, blah, 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 whatever. The Patriots brought in two elite tight ends. They brought in a phenomenal edge rusher. They brought in, like, you know, they drafted, I think, the next guy at quarterback, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But, like, you know, they upgraded the defense. They upgraded the offense, where they had the worst passing attack in the NFL last year. And they brought in two elite-level tight ends and two wide receivers they think can fit the program. I mean, I don't know what more you want. And now you look at it and say, okay, can Cam perform? And I think he'll have a significantly better season than he did. But if he doesn't, now we have a guy that can come in, step in, and play. Now, who knows if he's ready or not, because Bill hates rookie quarterbacks. But if he has to, he might have to play him. But that's okay. I think he raises the floor of where they can be as an offense, simply because if Cam looks the way he did last year, they can pull him and be like, all right, kid, go ahead. It's yours, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly how you feel. And even, too, with the Cam Newton signing, I remember I was at work, and it was the same thing. It was the Jim McBride tweet. I believe he's from the Boston Globe. And I was like, okay, at some point today, I'm going to have to go out of my car on my break and record in my iPhone and upload it, just what raw emotion I had. But then a money amount came down with him, and I was like, okay, I feel a lot better. Like, when I saw it was a $5 million base salary, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm glad I waited. It's like what I've heard a lot of coaches say for junior levels, just going off topic, but with hockey, how some of them will wait till the next day, like they won't criticize in the moment.
Right. Yeah.
So with this one, I waited, and I'm glad I waited, because at first you really got me, like, just because I was kind of done with Cam, but I thought he was gone. But then when they signed him and you see $14 million, you're like you have that eesh reaction. But then when you see $5 million based and $9 million performance based, it makes you think, look, he's going to come in, going to want to work his ass off to get better.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
With the one love with the European writing, and then he always does this emoji.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even too with the draft, like I remember I was watching your guys' draft, like just the live stream, like we're talking about off camera, and I remember it was Keegan's famous, I am broken. Because him and I talked literally a few days before the draft.
Yeah.
And I remember telling him, like in just DMs, I feel like the pick for Mac Jones, the original instant reaction was, like, you know when you go to your like a restaurant for a certain dish, but then you get there and they're not serving it?
Right.
And then you order something and it's just as good, but it's not what you wanted. Because I feel like a lot of Pats fans wanted Justin Fields, but, and I'll admit this, I was shitting on Mac Jones all throughout the draft process just because of the whole, you know, Alabama stereotypes. And
Right.
You thought he was being carried, but the more I'm, like, watching him and everything else, I'm not going to shit on a player that we drafted right out of the gate. I'm not going
right.
to, I'm not just going to come and be like, oh, yeah, he sucks. Like, no, he's not going to be good. I'm going to trust in Bill like I always do.
Right. Well, and here's the big thing with Mac Jones, right? Because the instant reaction, I mean, there's like a 35-40 second clip of us when the trade gets announced that it's Mac, that it's the Bears moving up, and we're just all just like so pissed and heartbroken that it's the Bears, and it's just like, you know, we all wanted Fields, all of us, and you know, as much as, and we all crapped on Mac, on the Mac Jones pick, but what's interesting, Phil Perry, all offseason, was saying Mac Jones at 15 might not be a bad thing. All offseason, he was saying it. And we're like, you know, no, Phil, it's crazy. Like, they shouldn't draft, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, listen, Mac Jones at 15 is not a bad, it's not a bad thing. And then San Fran moves up to number 3, and everyone thinks they're taking him at 3. And so then it's like, okay, if Mac is gone, then that means Fields and Lance are still there, right? And so then we can get one of those guys, Fields or Lance. And then, of course, they take Lance instead at 3. And so, you know, then it was kind of like, oh, God. Like, I always, it's funny because in the back of my head, I always was just kind of like, Mac just makes sense for here. Like, he just fit. And so I was like, you know, as much as I don't really want him, it kind of makes a lot of sense that he would come here. You know, like, it just kind of made sense for me. And I hated it. But again, like you said, the more you look at it, the more you read about what he can do and what he does well, the more it makes sense and the more I like it. And here's the thing, and this is what I tried to do, and I would recommend to anyone out there that's trying to find information on Mac Jones, trying to look at what Mac Jones does well, is do stuff, look at things where people were breaking him down before the draft happened. Because here's the thing, right? If you get a Patriots guy, right? Let's say Lazar does a lot of stuff that, you know, breaks down a lot of stuff. Lazar does a lot of stuff that, and he breaks down things. Okay. Well, once he's on the Patriots, he's a Patriots player. Like, Lazar's not going to shit all over him once they drafted him. Like you said, like, I'm not going to take a guy that's played for the Patriots now and shit all over his game. And so try to find stuff before the draft, right? Not from San Fran guys either, because they're breaking down like, oh, this guy's really good. Trust me, they'll draft him at 3. Like, you know, so Matt Wallman and Mark Schofield do a rookie portfolio, I believe it's called. They have an hour long podcast, really, but it's on YouTube, and you could just literally just search Matt Wallman, Mac Jones. If you just search that, it comes up. It's an hour long video of them 2 weeks before the draft, breaking down what he does well, what he doesn't well, what he doesn't do well, looking at plays. Okay, he does this well. I like this. I like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. It is so deep and so much, and it's great. And there's no bias. There's not like, oh, you know, I'm a Patriots guy, and I'm trying to show why this is a good pick. Like, there's none of that. It's, this is the player. This is what we like about the player. This is what we don't like about the player. These are some of the limitations he has. Like, that I think is the most valuable because again, there's no bias there. And so that's what I'd recommend is to do that because that to me is the best way to do it, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to go in and look at that non-biased opinion, like even right. to how I love, I don't know why. Like I always have this weird love-hate relationship with the show Get Up on ESPN just because I'm like, I've come on and said, I'm not a big Mike Greenberg fan. One of the reasons why I wasn't watching the ESPN coverage for the draft.
Yeah.
I watched ABC because when someone named by the name of Charlie appeared on NFL Network, I clicked off. Oh, but when they were like, they're all saying like, oh yeah, he's coming in and he's starting week one. And I'm just like, I feel like people outside of New England just assume Belichick's just always going to do what's opposite. But people within New England who are within the fan base, like for example, Toronto, Canada here, Boston area.
Right.
We know what Bill does. Like we know exactly what makes him not tick, but like we know like exactly he's not going to start a rookie quarterback. Like yeah. I know he picked, and I love everybody too saying, but Tom, it's like Tom didn't start until 2001 because Drew Bledsoe almost Tom was dead.
Tom was a sixth round pick.
Yeah.
And the year after they drafted Tom, Drew Bledsoe with Tom Brady on the team signed the richest contract in NFL history. So like, don't sit there. I don't like, no, you know, we could backtrack and talk about, oh, you know, they were committed to Brady. No, they were not. Drew Bledsoe signed a 10-year, $100 million contract while Tom Brady was on the team. Like it's not, you know, he had already been on the team for a year. So that's one of those things where it's like, yes, he stuck with him when once Drew went down, but there was never any plans. You know, it's not like they went into the 0-1 season thinking, oh, we have this guy Brady who's ready to take over. Like, no, they went out and they committed to a quarterback long-term, and his name is Drew Bledsoe.
Exactly, and the only thing he couldn't do was go, I learned this in the book, The Dynasty, yesterday, but he liked the helicopter ski, but Kraft said, like, yeah, you're not doing any more of that.
Right,
but
right.
If people want to know why Brady started, it was because Mo Lewis just absolutely demolished him in the... Yep. What I didn't realize until recently, but that was the first game after the September 11th attacks.
Yep. Yeah, that was a wild game. You know, Andrews's brothers were there, you know, carrying the flags out, which I thought was so cool. Obviously, they were in 9/11 and, you know, at the Twin Towers. And it was just, you know, super emotional game for everyone. Bledsoe almost died. Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. You think that he didn't realize he was on the sideline. He went back in. After that, he went back in. And then they were like, no, you need to come out. Like that's, you're not doing well, you know? And so they took him out, but you know, that's what people don't realize is that he went back into the game. Like he's a monster. Like he was an absolute warrior, Bledsoe. And he just wanted to keep playing. And they were like, no. And then he had to be rushed to the hospital and go into emergency surgery. Like, so it's just, you know, it's one of those things where I don't think people realized even till recently, how bad it really was, you know, he lost a ton of blood. And so like, he really, I mean, he almost died, which is crazy to think, but you know, he was back and then he was back like 6-7 weeks later. And then Bill was like, hey, sorry, it's Tom's team.
Yeah.
You know?
And even I remember seeing the part in the book where it was Scott Zolak was nude. I forget what radio station it was, but he was just on assignment in New Orleans for the Super Bowl and had to ask him, hey, what are your plans for next year, even though they're friends? And he basically looked at him and went like, fuck off.
Right. Well, I mean, that's, and I don't blame him. You know what I mean? It's just like,
no.
But I will say, and I'll say it forever. Like if that was Drew's team, If Drew had walked in 6 weeks later when he's healthy, doesn't matter what the record is, he's healthy and he shows up and he says, hey, I'm ready to go. And Bill said, no, sorry, I'm sticking with Tom. He could have turned that lock arm against Brady. He absolutely could have. And he chose not to. And that, to me, took a ton of strength. It took a ton of maturity and leadership, I think, for him to stay in there and be so supportive of Brady through all of that, I think was amazing. And, of course, he was hurt. It was awful. It was the worst year of his life, I'm sure. But he dealt with it because he had no other choice. And, again, like, that was never Brady's team. Even now, like they'll meet and like, that's still Drew's team. Like those guys are all Drew's guys. And like, you know, of course then Brady came along and then became their guy afterwards. But that team was Bledsoe's team that, you know, Brady obviously led to a championship. And so I just think that it's interesting, and that's part of the storyline that gets forgotten sometimes, is that how important Bledsoe was. And of course, then Brady goes down in the AFC Championship game, and Bledsoe wins in the game, almost cost him the game, but wins in the game. So, like, you know, it was kind of a storybook ending for Bledsoe. Obviously, not the way he wanted to go, but kind of a storybook ending for him.
Exactly. And then the only other game that comes to mind with the AFC Championship with Tom from that part of the Patriots career was the infamous flu game that he had in 2000. I think it was 2004 in Pittsburgh, where he was sick as a dog, but still led them to victory. Just goes to show the whole competitive spirit. And obviously, we'll get into that in a minute. I was going to say, we can move on to the schedule right now. Just, you know, kind of like crack that book open. We can talk a little more draft later. But I found it weird that week one, like Miami, I'm like, all right, whatever.
Right.
The 4:25 start times will kind of caught me off guard. But I feel like it's because they know the people will watch because it's the Patriots.
Well, yeah, and Miami's good this year. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think Miami's going to be a good team. I think the Patriots, everyone expects to be a pretty good team. And so why not give them a primetime game? I love it because I love the 4:25 games, going to the 4:25 games. It's funny because they play a 4:25 game, then they play the Tampa game on a Sunday night, and the rest of the games at home are all 1 o'clock games, which kind of sucks. Well, that's not true. The Dallas game's a 4:25 game. And then the rest of the games are 1 o'clock games. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from. It is a little strange, and we're not used to it because the Dolphins are always 1 o'clock games, right? But I do like that because, Miami now all of a sudden is a pretty good team. Like, the AFCs this year, you could have three teams that win 10 games this year. Oh, you know, 100%. I think that's a very real possibility.
Yeah. The only other reason why I don't like it is because I really want to watch that Chiefs versus Browns game, but then I'm going to have like my one TV and I'm going to have like Red Zone going on my laptop or the Chiefs Browns game. That's the only reason why. Because I also said this in my podcast yesterday that I don't think Rams and Bears should be the Sunday night football game, but that's just me.
Yeah, Rams, that's a crappy game, but what are you going to do? Justin Fields' first game, though. I mean, maybe, unless it's going to be Nick Foles. You know, you never know.
Nick Foles and Matthew Stafford on Sunday Night Football. Everybody, here you go. But no, like I said with the Dolphins, I'm fine with it. I guess like we said, I think I'm just so conditioned to like 1 o'clock Miami games where.
Right. Yeah.
The only other thing I said about that game is I already know it's going to be Eagle. I know you'll probably be at the game, but Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. If I had to put money on it, that's my.
No chance. No chance.
Really?
4:25 game? No way. Ian Eagle gets the 1 o'clock games. He's a 1 o'clock only, I think, at least. He's like the D squad. So, like, I can't imagine them giving him a 4:25. I mean, a national game for Ian Eagle? I don't know. I don't know about that. He's a regional guy, I think.
I only said it because I know that Romo and Nance are going to be in Kansas City calling.
Oh, Romo and Nance will be in Kansas City. So they'll get the B squad. They'll get whoever the B squad is. I don't know who that is, but. Trying to think who the B squad is over there.
Kevin Harlan.
Might be Harlan. See, that's good. See, that's Kevin Harlan's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, you won't get Romo because Romo's definitely going to be in Kansas City. But, you know,
I don't know, Pat.
God, that guy, dude.
And then we move on to week two, where what a welcome to your new home for Zach Wilson than getting Bill Belichick for your home opener. In front of your, like, supposed to be the franchise.
I just feel bad for the kid. I feel bad for him. Like, Patriots rebuilt defense going in, especially going, not only that, but going into the game that Bill circles on the calendar every year, these two games. Yeah. You know, I said before the draft that, you know, that there are two things that Bill Belichick hates in this life, and that's the New York Jets and rookie quarterbacks. Like, He hates rookie quarterbacks and he hates the Jets, and he circles that game every year, both those games, and says we need to win those games. And if you know they could go 2-15, and he wouldn't be happy. But as long as those two games are against the Jets, he'd be like, okay, it's not great, but what are you gonna do?
You know? Exactly. It's just like, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, that's not just like, oh, Zach Wilson's first game. Like, the fact that this is his first game at home, and there's potential for Bill Belichick just to make him look.
See some ghosts out there.
Yeah. If we can get that, just him just having that like awkward like smile laugh like from Monday Night Football a couple years ago, that would be perfect.
Yeah, no, not great.
Yeah, and then we move back home for us for week three, taking on the New Orleans Saints. I saw someone tweet about saying, oh, this game would have been good 5 years ago. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's true, Brady Breeze. But this game still could be Cam Newton versus Jameis Winston in the Fox 1 o'clock window, which I think that may be, you never know, it could be Kevin Burkhart, but it may be, maybe, I don't know who else is.
You might get Iron Eagle for that one. But, but oh no, you know what? That's a Fox game though, right?
Yeah.
So you're right. So, but that, yeah, no, that's look, James, whatever. I think the Saints are going to stink this year. So like that's Saints have been playing a lot of 1 o'clock games, and with Jameis in there, he's going to throw a billion picks. It's just like, yeah, throw it for a ton of yards, but like, it's just, they should win that game. I mean, in my opinion, they should be going into the Brady game 3-0. Now, whether they win that first game against Miami, I'm not sure. But they should be going into that Tampa Bay game at 3-0, in my opinion. So
we do get a break without Will Fuller for the Miami Dolphins, because he's serving the last game of his PED suspension.
That's right. That's a good point. Good point. Yeah. Jalen Waddle is obviously a problem, but you know, Fuller and Waddle on the field at the same time, that's more of a problem. So you're right about that. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yep. The only other thing I'm going to say about the Miami game is I feel like week one we win, week 18 we lose, just because like it's the same thing. We're conditioned to believe it.
It happens every year.
But also, too, I could see Tua coming out and stinking in that week one game, and then the national media is like, oh, I can't believe they didn't draft quarterback, this, or this, yeah. And then Miami figures it out.
Yeah. I think Tua's going to be fine. Miami figures it out eventually. Like I said, I expect them to finish 10-7, maybe 9-8, but I expect them to finish 10-7 this year at the worst, in my opinion.
Before we move on to the next game, which obviously is one of the most important, the important one, you're the first person I haven't had to go, oh, by the way, we got 17. And they're like, oh, that's so weird to say. Like, you're the first person who's organically saying, like, these new records.
I hate it. But, like, that's, yeah. But that's, yeah. I mean, it's there. So, trying to get used to it. You know, I'll probably screw it up, just like I called the Chargers of San Diego. Although, I kind of do that intentionally, to be honest with you. Or calling the Raiders from Oakland. You know, it's like one of those things. I'll get it eventually.
It happens to the best of us.
Right.
And then moving on to week four, obviously the only Sunday night, this is the weirdest one for me, the only Sunday night football game of the year for the Pats, but yeah. Patriots, Buccaneers, this probably will be one of the most emotional games in New England history for both sides.
So. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, the Bills game in 02 was, you know, when Bledsoe comes back. The Colts game in 06, when Vinatieri comes back. Like, some of those games were emotional. Obviously, Vinatieri, you win 3 Super Bowls with him. The guy's, you know, the greatest kicker ever.
Yeah.
There were people in the stands booing Adam Vinatieri, and I lost my mind. Like, what is wrong with you booing Adam Vinatieri? Like, you idiot. There will be no one booing Tom Brady.
No.
You know, so, and look, you're right. Like, he should get, and we'll see how they do it. What I hope that they do is that they send Brady out, like, on his own, basically, because he's going to get a 5-minute standing ovation. I mean, he's going to get a 5-minute, the people are going to go absolutely nuts for, you know, for a long time. And he deserves it. He deserves, you know, a 5-minute standing, a 10-minute standing ovation, for God's sakes, from the crowd. Brady Sr. was on today with, I don't know if he was on with Zoe, and I don't know who he was on with, but he said, he goes, you know, I expect them to obviously, you know, greet him well and this and that. And then once the game starts, you might hear some booing because he doesn't play for the Patriots anymore. You know, they're Patriots fans. And I semi agree with that. I do think that, you know, he's part of this team. Like, he's just part of the Patriots. Like, he's playing for Tampa Bay right now, but like, it's hard to root against him because he's Tom Brady. Like, he's just, so even when the Patriots are playing the Bucks, like, of course you want to win that game, but like, it's Brady. Like, you can't be upset because it's Brady, you know? And I will say, let's talk about Bill circling the game. I mean, imagine if Tom comes in and the Patriots hand him an L. Oh my God, man. And Belichick, like, you know, Brady throws like 3 picks or something. I mean, like, that'd be unbelievable. That would be unbelievable if they do. But Here's what's going to happen. And I'll just, we'll mark it down right now. Like, you write it in Sharpie, for God's sakes, right now. Patriots are going to lead. Patriots are going to take the lead. It's going to be back and forth. They're going to be winning by like 4 or 5 in the fourth quarter. And Brady's going to take Tampa Bay down in the last 3 minutes of the game to score, throw a touchdown pass with like a minute and a half left. And the Bucs are going to win. And we're just going to be sitting there like, God damn it. Like, Brady did to us too. Like, it's just, what are you going to do? You know, I believe. So Manning's beaten all 32 teams. Peyton Manning's beaten all 32 teams. I believe, I'm pretty sure Brady's beaten 31. I'm assuming. I can't imagine there's a team he hasn't beaten yet.
I think it's a safe bet.
So this is it. He gets, and he's not going to play the Patriots again unless he plays them in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I mean, theoretically, he could play for 4 more years. Who knows? But, you know, but this is his shot to beat all 32. So it would be interesting to see what happens if the Patriots are able to pull out the victory. That would be amazing. But again, like I said, I feel like the perfect ending of that game, as much as I would love a Patriots win, I feel like the perfect ending to that game would be one of those games where like Brady's kind of off. He has one of those crap Brady games and then pulls it together in the fourth quarter and like wills the team to victory. And you just sit there at the end and you're like, how the hell did we lose that game? Like, how did that just happen? And that, I mean, think about how many times that's happened to other teams over the course of the last 20 years. And then for that to happen to the Patriots, to Tom, you know, against Tom Brady, I can't imagine ending any other way, to be honest with you.
So. Exactly. I was just on YouTube earlier tonight, and I decided to look up one of my favorite, not only game-winning touchdowns, one of my favorite radio calls. I don't listen to the radio for Pats games just because I'm not in the area, but it's the New Orleans 2013. So like good. Unicorns, show ponies, where's the beef? It's so like, good. As soon as you're saying that, like game-winning finish, I'm like, that's what I can see happening.
Just that was
like,
it.
Like a finish like that.
I was at a wedding that day. My buddy got married that day, and so I wasn't at the game. And I was listening, you know, kind of going on my phone. My wife's yelling at me the whole time. What are you doing on your phone? I'm like, listen, Patriots are playing. What do you want me to do? You know? And so I'm on the phone and this and that and whatever. So my buddy's father ends up pulling his van around the back of the reception place, and he's got the van outside turned on with the radio blasting. So I went out to go to the bathroom, and someone's walking in from outside with like a big smile on their face. I'm like, what the hell's going on? They're like, go outside. And I like go outside, and there's like 7 or 8 dudes standing around the car, like listening to the game. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I was like, this is amazing. So we were outside. Listening to the game, and it was like the fourth quarter, and Brady'd already threw a pick, and my sister was texting back and forth with me because she was at the game, and I was like, God damn it, like they lost. He threw a pick with like 2.5 minutes left to go in the game. It was like there was no chance they could win, and then they won, and they get the ball back, and you're like, how the hell did they get the ball back? And then they score, and so I actually listened to it on the radio. I listened to that Zolak call live on the radio as it happened, and we were going nuts, jumping up and down. It was wild. And then that night was the night that Ortiz hit the grand slam against the Tigers in the ALCS. And you have, you know, the famous picture of Hunter going over the wall with the cop in the background, raising his arms up like that. That was one of the best days in Boston sports history, obviously not championship related. One of the best days in Boston sports history. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I just think of that play, the where unicorns show ponies. And then his voice is going,
who's your quarterback? Oh, God, that guy, man. It was awesome. Kembrell Tompkins. It's my dude.
Oh, Patriots legend, Kembrell Tompkins.
Yep.
And then moving on here, week 5 at the Texans. Oh, man, that's going to be hopefully goes better than the last 2 years, because for some reason, the Texans suck when they come to Foxborough, but the Patriots, for some reason, just don't. Not struggle, but they can't play a perfect game when they're ever in Houston.
Well, that's very true. However, if Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback, I don't think there'll be much of an issue. Oh, maybe no. Davis Mills is the quarterback down there. Who knows? I actually might be at this game. It is Columbus Day weekend. So I think I might head down there. So we'll see. Still up in the air, but we did. So Tennessee in 2018 was Columbus Day weekend. I went to that game too. So I'm thinking that this might be a good, because then you don't have to miss a day of school. It's great.
Yeah.
Like you go down, you don't even miss a day. So as a teacher, it's like almost more work to be out than it is to like be in, you know? So So it's a good opportunity. We figured it'd be nice to get down. I've never been down there, so it might be cool. So, but that should be a bloodbath. I mean, we'll see, but that should be it. I expect Houston to be the worst team in the league. I mean, their win total, I think, in Vegas, like 3.5 right now. 3.5 in a 17-game season is 3.5. That's insane. I mean,
you and I were on here the day David Cauley got hired by them, and we both looked at each other and said, what the hell is up with them?
It doesn't make any sense. But again, not that I'm a betting person. If I was, I'd be hammering that over 3.5. Because, who knows? What if Davis Mills comes in and, like, is good? Then you're like, holy crap. Like, we're good, and we win five games. Four games. All you need to do is win four games out of 17. That's nothing. Yeah. So it could happen. We'll see. But yeah, that should be fun. That should be a fun game. I'm looking forward to that one. So, again, not 100% sure I'll be going, but I'm hoping.
That's also Canadian Thanksgiving, so I'll be watching.
Oh, look at that.
That's my turkey day. So I'll be watching that game at 1 o'clock, and then I'll be having a nice turkey dinner.
Beautiful.
Yeah, what I did last year, which I'll start doing going forward, is I took American Thanksgiving the Thursday off, stayed home, watched football, and I was I could get used to this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Especially if you're not celebrating, it's like, what the hell? It's beautiful.
No. Walk the pups, and then just chill and watch the games.
That's right. I love it. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Week six, and now this is the one I like. Week six, Dallas Cowboys, but the 4:25 time start time just because. I already have a feeling we're going to get Buck and Aikman on that one. And they did the game 2 years.
Oh, you're getting Buck and Aikman on that one for sure.
And they did it 2 years ago, and they were just so, like, I was just like, okay, I don't like Troy Aikman calling Cowboys games. Like,
I know.
Like, okay, buddy, we get it. You played for them. Like, yeah. It's like, you're right. That's what we get.
Right. We'll see what happens to them. Go ahead.
Yeah. The only thing I was going to say is, you know how we were saying earlier 17? I still feel like 17, though, is a roadmap to 18 eventually happening.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I just 18th. That's a lot of games, man. That's a lot of games. And I know it's, you know, then you only have three preseason games now, and so then you only have two. Like, I get it, but I mean, look, I said 17 was a lot, and they're playing 17. So I don't know whether that's going to happen. I will say for them to do that, they'd have to push it back a week. Like, they're starting. It's weird because they're starting the season, like the first week of preseason games is when the second week of preseason games would typically be, which is weird. I don't know why they're doing that, because they're finishing on January 9th. It's just, there's no need to do that. Like, it's still 20 weeks. Like, why are you starting later this year than you do last year? So, I'm not really sure why, although I think it has something to do with Labor Day. I think Labor Day is the what's that, the 6th? So because Labor Day is the 6th, then they start the Sunday after Labor Day, I think, is typically how they do it. So that's why they're starting on the 12th instead, I believe, is the reason why. Strange, but I'm pretty sure that's the reason why. And so if they start, you know, they start the regular season that time every year, if they're going to do that, then that means if they're going to keep that consistent, if you keep 18 games, now you're talking about going until mid-January. Then you're going to be playing the Super Bowl mid-February at the earliest, right? Even late February at that point. But if you're the NFL, that might be what they want, because, you know what I mean? Like, right. I mean, people are going to pay. People are going to go. People are going to watch it. So, like, you know, what the hell? Rake in the money and kind of go from there. And then you don't have as big of a gap, right? You have – it ends. Free agency starts in you know, March. Draft is in, you know, late April, early May, and then training camp starts in July, and then you're playing for 12 months out of the year. The NFL is the king the whole time. I just think at some point it's overload.
It could be overload. I just look at the way that the owners think, like how they were trying to get 17 forever. I feel like eventually they're trying for 18, or even, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw an NFL with 16 playoff teams, where if they give a second team a bye and you add in a fourth wild card. Like, I'm just throwing stuff out there, but I just feel like the NFL, if they see opportunities to make money, they'll do it.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. You know, well, if you did that, you wouldn't be able to give anyone buys, because then you'd have an odd number of teams the next week.
True.
No, you wouldn't. That was stupid. Am I wrong about that? I feel like that's wrong.
Three versus eight. No, never mind. No,
that's dumb. Yeah. No, you wouldn't, because you would have three. You're right. So you'd have three versus eight.
Four and you'd versus have seven.
Four versus seven, and you'd have five versus six. And then the next week you would have, you know, the winner, whatever, the lowest seed plays one. So then that would be, that was three games we just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have three winners of that game. So you'd have three winners, two of them. No, yeah. You'd have three winners and two of them would play.
No, it wouldn't make sense because you have three games and then you have two. Never mind.
Yeah, because you'd have three teams left and you'd have two teams that need an opponent. So then you'd have two games and you'd have one team that was just chilling.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have a matchup. So you'd have to do they wouldn't do that because they don't want to get rid of a bye. Like it's too a bye is too valuable, I think at least. So you wouldn't do the NBA version or the NHL version for that matter, and have one play eight or whatever. It's just not. You might as well keep it at seven and give one team the bye. You know.
Yeah. People regard what I just said. You know what? And also the like even last year too. The whole I know we were on the outside looking in. Right. But watching the three games in the day stress-free wasn't exactly – like you want to be there, but it wasn't terrible.
It didn't feel like playoff football, right? I mean, it didn't
no.
– I wasn't – I mean, I was invested, but I wasn't as invested as I typically am. Obviously, the Brady games and stuff, I was – you know, I was invested. But, you know, it's – yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm hoping for some more drama this year. The Patriots get back in the playoffs, but we'll see if that happens or not. But I think based on the schedule, they can. I really do. I mean, at this point, right now, through the so we're through six games here.
Yeah.
The Dallas game would be a tough game. At worst, they should be 4-2 after six games. At worst, they should be 4-2. And so now you're looking around saying 4-2 after six games is that's not bad, you know? Yeah. And then week seven's against the Jets. So like at home, that should be an easy dub. So now you're talking 5-2. I don't know, man. Like, that's, you know?
That sounds like a no-gas, all-breaks kind of game.
Does. Kind of does, doesn't it? I mean, the Jets still haven't figured it out. Week seven, the kid's still in there. Like, still, you know, the game's still moving too fast for him. And he gets Belichick again, and then he has to go into Gillette. Like, man, nope, that's not cool. Yeah. He's going to get – it's going to be ugly.
Yeah. The only other anti-Jet thing I'll say is there's a video circulating on Twitter yesterday. I think for most annoying NFL wife or mom, Brittany Mahomes has competition now with Mrs. Wilson and her little – we're not going to get too much into it, but she decided to have some words for Disney, and she follows that Marjorie Taylor Greene woman on Twitter, who I believe is a politician. So that's all you need to know about the Wilson clan.
Yeah, no, it's not great. Not great.
Yeah, not great.
Hashtag not great.
At your quarterback, New York fans. But then this game on Halloween against the Chargers, this I don't think it'll be 45-0 again.
No.
I would love it, but I think this could be a pretty sneaky good game. 4-5 start. Obviously it's a West Coast game, but
I like that. I like the Chargers team a lot. I think the Chargers are a good team. I think Herbert's poised to do well. Now, it's Belichick, and Belichick against first and second-year quarterbacks typically does quite well. Now, he crushed them last time. You're right. That's not going to happen again. 45-0 was an aberration. That was like that was the worst game they played all year. It was the worst game they played all year. Special teams is unbelievable, and they destroyed them on every single facet of the game, offensively, defensively, special teams. It was amazing. That won't happen again. I mean, that's you know, one of those things. But I agree with you. It's a competitive game. I expect them to win that game. So again, now we're talking 6-2 at this point. Like, you know, like this is now we're rolling. We're rolling now at 6-2. Like now we're looking at it saying, holy crap, like this team is good. Right. And again, are they good? I think so. But like to this point, then they've played a second year quarterback, two second year quarterbacks in Tua and Herbert, a rookie quarterback, the same rookie quarterback twice. Right. Jameis Winston, right?
Tyrod Taylor.
Like, so that those are your six wins right there. So, like, and then your two losses theoretically would be against Brady and Dak. So, like, yes, sure. If we're 6-2 at that point, like, I'm happy. I'm excited that we're like, okay, we're like fighting for the playoffs. But at the same time, like, yeah, that's great. But Like, let's see what happens later on in the year when the schedule gets more difficult. Week 9, really not much more difficult because you're playing Sam Bradford and the Carolina Panthers, who are fine. But, like, Sam Bradford, if Sam Bradford beats you, like, no, that's not good. That's no good. That, you can't let that happen. So to me, I think that's another win. Then you said it at 7-2?
Yep.
Like, 7-2, and you're like, holy crap, we got a chance here. We got a chance to win the division, maybe, you know?
Exactly. I wouldn't be shocked if week 10, though, versus Cleveland, wouldn't be shocked if that's a loss.
That's a no, for sure. I shouldn't say for sure. That's not true. But I like Cleveland a lot this year. I think Cleveland, to me, is going to compete for the – I think the three best teams in the AFC, in my opinion, are Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cleveland. I think Cleveland is the class of the AFC North. I think they're gonna wash that division, in my opinion. They got significantly better, I think. Their defense got better. They're continuing to build on offense. Like, I think that team's going to be a good team. They're going to figure things out. I wouldn't be surprised if they win 12, 13 games this year. And so, you know, you see that team go, 12-5, 13-4, maybe even 14-3. Like, who knows? But that's a good, good team, I think. And so I expect that to be a loss by the Patriots. But again, if they can play, this is where now it's like, okay, we got some challenges, right? So the question isn't, do we necessarily win those games? The question is, how do we play against those teams? Like, are you going to beat Cleveland? Probably not. But are you going to give Cleveland a game? Like, you're at home. You got a shot to beat Cleveland. So, like, are you going to – and by the way, if the Patriots are 7-2 and Cleveland comes in and they're whatever their record is, I'm pretty sure those are all flexible games. So that game could easily be a 425 game. If you're looking at the 7-2 Patriots versus the 8-1 Browns or 7-2 Browns, whatever the case may be, that might be a 425 game, you know?
Yep, I just want to look even to see what Sunday Night Football is for that week, just to see if the possibility of that getting. And week 10, it's Kansas City and Vegas. So I don't know if they would flex Mahomes out, but they could move it to 4. If they move it to 425.
I think that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next one up on the docket is week 11, our only Thursday night game of the year at Atlanta. I feel like we could win, but I feel like that's a potential for a trap. Just in the sense of, like, you know, the short week, travel,
all that
fun stuff. Because Patriots usually are home for the Thursday game. It was only last year and I think this year where we're on the road.
Yeah.
Against Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. What was that, 4 years ago? Jesus Christ, that was four years ago now in Tampa. So
they wore the all-white. That's right, they wore those all-white uniforms, which I wish they'd bring back.
I know. So I still want the redbacks. Who cares about the stupid all white? I just want the red jerseys. But no, that's, I think they're setting up the red jerseys, but that's a whole other conversation. But the Atlanta game, I know, it's so, which is so dumb.
Yeah.
The Atlanta, I mean, that should be a win, right? That should be a win. But you're right. Like, I can see it Thursday night. That's a tough game, but I mean, Atlanta stinks, man. They're not good. They're just not. That defense is atrocious. That defense is awful. And they're going to throw for a million yards. Like, Matt Ryan, he's garbage time quarterback, right? He's got all these yards, but they're all in garbage time because the defense is always terrible. And so he just throws for a billion yards every game because they're losing by 20 points, and so he has to, you know? I do agree with you, though. I mean, I could see them losing that game. They should win, though. And so, you know, if they do, now you got 8 wins already. You're 8-3, and, like, you still got Jacksonville on the schedule. So, like, you know? So we'll see, but Tennessee's the next week right at home. But see, this is where, so it's like 1 o'clock, then you get, well, I get, then it's Buffalo Monday night, but that Tennessee game, another one, right? So you're sandwiched in now here, right? Cleveland, tough game. Atlanta, you should probably win. You have a long week off because you're playing Thursday and the next Sunday. But Tennessee, that's a tough game, man. Tennessee is a really good team. And again, how do you play against them? That's the big thing. Like, how do you play against the Titans? Do you put up a fight? Do you hold your own? Do you maybe even beat them? Or do you get stomped? And then you're like, okay, this team isn't for real, right? They got stomped by the Browns. They got stomped by the Titans. And they got to go into Buffalo next week. And it's like, okay, like, this could get really ugly if they get into Buffalo and they get smoked. And now it's like, yeah, great, we have 8 wins. But, like, nobody feels good about this 8-4 team or whatever, like, or 8-5 team. Everyone looks at this team and says, oh crap, like, we're screwed. We're going to have 9 wins and finish 9-8 and then be like, well, that's great, 'cause we're picking friggin' 15th again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
when I say, by the way, the Atlanta trap game, I just say in the sense of, I think we'll win, but I think it'll be closer than what people like think. Like, it could be, like, say 24-21, something like that, you know?
Those Thursday games are always weird, right? Like, always. Ever since they started doing the Thursday nights consistently, like, they're always, every single time you watch one of those games, it's never like a super close game. You know, a normal game. There's always something weird that happens. I mean, the Patriots Chargers game was a Thursday night game last year, right? When they wiped the floor with them, wasn't it? Or was it the Rams game that was Thursday night?
It was the Rams game when we got walked.
Oh, Rams games, we got killed on Thursday, and then we played them on Sunday. Okay, on the
long week.
But okay, so either way. But either way, it's like, you know, they get killed by the Rams on Thursday, then the next Sunday they smoke the Chargers, who looked like a playoff team. So you were like, what the hell? It's just, you know.
Yeah. But, the Tennessee game just worries me, just because, like, obviously we all say, hey, Belichick's playing. It's the quote from Denzel Washington from, I think, Training Day. This is chess. This ain't checkers. This is chess. Mike Vrabel can play chess with Bill Belichick. We've seen it twice already. That's the only thing that concerns me. That's another game where, hey, if New England can hang, I feel like they're good. And the key to beating them really is, you know what? Stop Derrick Henry.
Well, I think they're loading up to do that. I think the defense is going to be significantly better, and I think they've committed to stopping the run. You saw Barmore, you saw Henry Anderson, you saw Judon, you saw Godshaw. They brought Lawrence Guy back. Like, they are committed to stopping the run with their defense, right? They keep adding edge players. Ronnie Perkins was the only defender in football last year to have a 90 grade against the pass and against the run. And so, which I thought was interesting. So it's a cool article about him. So I didn't get to, I flagged it. And I didn't get a chance to read it, but about him trying to overcome some of the question marks with him after a failed drug test, that really pushed him out. And he's a guy that, you know, was predicted, and some people had him going in the first round, and he goes at 96. I mean, it was just, you know, he fell like crazy. So that was, you know, we'll see, of course, but I expect some things out of him this year.
Exactly. And then, like you said, too, Buffalo Monday Night Football, I feel like no matter where we're at or where they're at, Buffalo, I say this and I'm committed to it, Buffalo, I'm pretty sure we live it rent free in the heads of Bills fans. Like, yeah. I'm fully convinced of it. Like, there was a sign at the Baltimore game last year where it was like something about like the Patriots, and I'm just like, yeah, we live rent free in their heads. Like, I feel like until they win a Super Bowl, they're going to always circle the New England game on their calendar.
Well, that's it. Like, the Bills beat us. They swept the series last year.
Yeah.
They almost didn't beat us in Buffalo, but they did. But this, again, is a game where if the Patriots are kind of hanging around and the Bills have a good lead in the division, but the Patriots are kind of hanging around, not out of it yet, this could be a game that turns the tide, right? Because all of a sudden, Patriots win that game and the fans start being like, oh, no. The Patriots again, like, then we get to deal with the stupid team again. And, you know, and so it's just like, it's one of those things where, like you said, it's just, it's in your head, you know, and you see, okay, they had an off year, but now they get 8 wins and they're coming into Buffalo. And yeah, you know, they played Cleveland and Tennessee pretty tight. And, you know, we've been playing well too, but like, who knows? And then they come in and beat you. And then you're like, oh no, like, maybe we're not as good as we were last year. And maybe they're better than us. And so it's like that whole mental thing that kind of comes with it where you're like, then you panic, you know? And this is a huge game for the Patriots because their bye comes next. Late, obviously the latest bye they've ever had because there's never been a week 14 bye. But, you know, a super late bye. But what is interesting about it is that you start looking around and you say, okay, well, if that's the case and you have, you know, a bye the next week, if you beat Buffalo that game and then you go into your bye, I mean, what a way to start your bye to beat your rival on Monday Night Football. Be amazing in their house, never, you know, no less. So we'll see. And you know, I mean, you can spin it both ways, right? You lose that game too, and it's like, oh, you know, we're able to kind of come back and you know, get our minds right and everything else. But a win there going into your bye week, I mean, whew, that would be really, they'd be flying after that, you know?
Exactly. Like, it says, I like, if I look at the schedule right now, I would probably put an L next to that one just because.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? At that point, if, say, if we're, I think we'd be 9 and, let's see, through 13 weeks, I would be 9 and 4 or 8 and 5, 9 and 4. That's not,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
If they can knock off one of Cleveland or Tennessee, if they can beat one of those teams and be 9 and 4 at that point. I mean, I don't know what more you could possibly ask for from this team. You know, to be 9 and 4 going into their bye would be amazing. And again, significantly better than they were last year, right? I mean, they only had 7 wins last year, so to already have eclipsed the win total going into your bye would be pretty nice, you know. And then of course, out of the bye, you're at Indy, and again, that's one of those weird ones where they can play Saturday or Sunday depending on what the deal is, and. That one is fascinating because it's Carson Wentz. And I know it's Indy still. And I know Indy's a good team and they run the heck out of the ball and they have a good defense. But like, it's Carson Wentz. Like, if Carson Wentz still stinks, like, they're screwed. They're screwed if Carson Wentz still stinks.
Yep. But Philly fans are hoping that they're good so they can get another first round pick. So then they would have.
Right. Yeah. Because you get into the all they have to do is make the playoffs, right? Is that how it works?
Or is it either that or win 75% of the games?
No, is it 75? Yeah, you might be right. So yeah, I know a playoff berth they have to give a first round pick, and you're right. It's something else where they have to win X amount of games or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, then Philly has 3 first round picks next year. That'd be wild.
Yeah.
I still think that Miami trade was bonkers. Like, I don't know what they were doing there. It just doesn't. I think. They thought if we move up to 6, quarterbacks are going to go nuts, and we can trade out of 6 and get a king's ransom for 6.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just love Jalen Waddle. I don't know. But either way, it's kind of like if you loved Waddle so much, like what happens if the Falcons took him at 4? Like, or the Bengals were never going to take him at 5. But either way, like you gave up a first round pick for Jalen Waddle. Like they could have stayed at 12 and drafted Devonta Smith. Like, it's just kind of like, I don't love that. But, you know, what are you going to do?
No, it is what it is. I always kind of like the Saturday games. It's just the weird and like the
cool. Yeah.
It's the cool thing. Like, we played it like 2 years ago against Buffalo in the game that we clinched the AFC East. But, like, even if we played Sunday, like, it's not bad. It's just the whole Saturday is cool. Yeah. And before we discuss the next week, the one thing I want to say, because I'm pretty committed to it, I think the NFL is going to maybe not pull an NBA and do 5 games, but I think we're going to start seeing more consistent Christmas games going forward. Like, unless Christmas is on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but I think if Christmas is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, I think the NFL is going to be playing.
I think it makes sense. It does. It absolutely makes sense. Because what, the next week's the 26th, right? Is the next week, next Sunday is the 26th. To see a Saturday game on the 25th would be interesting. I mean, the next year, right? Next year in 2022, Sunday, Christmas is going to be on a Sunday. So you're going to have, you know, games on Sunday.
I know the NFL does that, but I remember in past years when Christmas was on a Sunday, I think the majority of the games get played Saturday.
Get played on Saturday, which is true. And so we'll see, right? Like you said, like they have an opportunity now to play on Christmas, but then you wonder, like, ABC and ESPN are owned by the same company. Like, then, you know, NBA. So it's all those like competing people. They're kind of like working for the same squad. So then do you want to have NFL going on all day and NBA going on all day? Like, I don't know if they want that. Right. So like, that might be the reasoning why they really haven't done many of those Christmas games. You know what I mean?
If anything, you can do like last year, how Buck and Aikman called the Christmas game in New Orleans. You could have it where like Fox gets one and then CBS gets one, or even, put it on Amazon Prime, even.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't do that. But you could. I mean, yeah, I suppose you could. But that would be kind of crazy to do that. It's like, it defeats the purpose of it. You know what I mean? I think, at least. They want the eyeballs on TV. And I know they're branching out. Oh, Amazon Prime and this and that. But like, they're just trying to reach more people to say, oh, we have this reach or whatever. But like, realistically, I think it's all about the ad money. You know, and you don't get as much ad money from Amazon Prime, although Amazon Prime's paying them, I'm sure. But like, you know, it's, yeah, that's any game like that is always going to be broadcast on some sort of place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I just said Amazon Prime, just like obviously like how they're branching out and they're the official provider for Thursday Night Football next year.
I was gonna say Thursday, right? Is it Thursday night that they have them all on there? Yeah.
Except for if it's in your market, you get the game on TV.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so the Thursday night games aren't gonna be on TV anymore? They're just gonna be on Amazon Prime?
In 2022.
In 2022. Got it.
Yeah, 2021 will still be Fox and NFL Network, but then 2022 is Amazon Prime. But I think it'll be on, like, say, Fox 25 when the Patriots are on Thursday night.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just the future. But no, I could, like I said, I could see a world where, you know what, they do a 4:30 and an 8:15 game on Christmas, say if it's on Saturday or Sunday.
Well, yeah. And if that's the case, then yeah, they might say, if they're going to do that with those Thursday night games, but I didn't realize they were doing that. It was all on there. So, if that's the case, they might do that and say, hey, well, you know, we'll throw the 4:30 game on Amazon Prime instead. That way it doesn't mess with you guys, and we'll do the 8:30 on whatever, NBC or whatever the case may be, you know what I mean?
Some people absolutely hated that, like the news when Amazon Prime got the Thursday night, but I guess it's just getting with the times.
That's new. It's just anything new, you know? I mean, who doesn't have Amazon Prime at this point? You know what I mean? Like, everyone has Amazon Prime, you know? But even still, it's like, it's not on my TV, and it's like, well, it should be. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
At this point, it kind of should be, you know. But what are you gonna do?
And then hopefully we get a nice little Christmas present, because I still think there's a very good chance either Buffalo is clinched by then, or they're gonna beat us on Boxing Day, and which Boxing Day is like our Black Friday,
right?
Canadian Black Friday, even though we do celebrate Black Friday too. Just an excuse to shop. That game is basically Buffalo's going to be in New England, and they're going to clinch the division, or like we beat them and then, hey, still hope's alive, but we'll see what happens. My big question with the Bills this year, though, on another note, is how are they going to feel now that their target's on their back? Last year, there was not a target on their back and no one saw this coming. Now it's, hey, everyone's coming for you.
Well, and that's a big question, right? Josh Allen made a huge leap forward last year. But then he got to the AFC Championship game, and he looked like crap in the AFC Championship game. He made the same mistakes. He looked like old Josh Allen. And the question is, can he consistently be as good as he was at the beginning of the year last year? Can he do that? And I think towards the end of the year, he started to fade a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit. Can he keep that consistent, you know, ability to not make dumb mistakes, to be accurate? Can he do that? And if he can, this team's going to go far. And if he can't, well, then they're not. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, I think. And so, but you're right. Like, it's a different animal when you walk into every single game and that's like they have that game circled. Like, this team, we need to beat this team, you know? Or like every game, it's like, hey, we're an up-and-coming team. If we beat this team, that could be huge for us. Like, Buffalo's never been that before, ever. And so you're right. Like, people are going into the season thinking, man, if we can knock off Buffalo, like, all of a sudden we're going to look great. Or, like, if we can shut down Josh Allen, like, holy crap, look how good we're going to be, you know? And they're playing a first-place schedule. So they get Kansas City. They get, you know, did Pittsburgh? Yeah, they get well, Pittsburgh's going to stink this year. But either way, like, you know, you get the division winners, right? So, you know, that to me, I think, is a little bit extra where you're like, okay, now you got to deal with, you know, with the division winners in every spot. That makes it a little more challenging, I think.
Exactly. And then on to week 17, where Happy New Year. Oh, there's a nice little W to bring us into 2022.
Trevor Lawrence.
I could do a whole nother podcast about the Jacksonville Jaguars, because, like, the Lawrence pick I liked, but then ETN, I was just like, that kills Robinson for fantasy, and I need people to stop comparing him to Alvin Kamara. And then the new Tebow news, I'm just like, I'm going to quote you, like, Urban, what are you doing?
Yeah, right. No, that's it. I mean, like, Travis ETN, like, it's a running back. Why are you taking a running back in the first round? Like, do you know, you know, that was a college coach move. That was a college coach move. Oh, hey, look at this running back. He could be so interesting. We're going to pair him with his college quarterback. Blah, blah. Why? What are you doing that for? It just doesn't make any sense. You can get a guy that can do things like that, you know, in the third, fourth round. Alvin Kamara wasn't a first round pick. Like, you know, you don't need guys like that in the first round. And there were plenty of guys. And I know they drafted They drafted Tevin Jenkins later. I know they drafted an offensive lineman later.
Oh, Walker Little.
Walker Little, that's who it was. So they drafted Walker Little in the second round, fine. But like
coming off ACL surgery, but yes.
Right. You could have drafted Tevin Jenkins at that spot. Like you could have drafted a lot of guys at that spot. You could have drafted Quinn Meinerz. And, you know, well, I guess Quinn Meinerz went way later. So, but you could have drafted a, you know, Dylan Raddins. You could have drafted a bunch of guys in that spot that could have helped you. Shoot, you could have drafted freaking Rashad Bateman in that spot. Like you could have drafted any of those guys in that spot, and you took a running back in the first round. Like it just doesn't help you. And especially like you said, James Robinson had a phenomenal year last year. And so now what? You're just like, you're not sold on James Robinson anymore. It's just, or you're going to continue to feed James Robinson and bring in ETN in the third down back. Like that doesn't help you. It just, it made no sense. That pick made no sense. And so I don't love it. But, and again, you're rebuilding. Like bring guys around him that are playmakers. And yeah, sure. The running back's a playmaker too, but like, bring in a Rashad Bateman. Bring in, you know, someone that you think is gonna, that can help you right now. And imagine if you get, you know, Shark, LaVisca Chenault, and, you know, whether it's Elijah Moore or Rashad Bateman, like their receiving core would be nasty for Trevor Lawrence. And then you still get up, you know, you still get your Walker Little or whoever else in the second round, and you know, and you're flying. I think that would have been the way to go. And it's not what they did. And I just feel like, yeah, okay, fine. But like, they could have done a lot better, I think.
It's like with fantasy football where it's like, you know, where it's like, hey, I got Derrick Henry. Oh, I wanted Alvin Kamara too, with him coming out later and saying, oh, we wanted Kadarius Toney. Well, you know what, Urban? You got to move up. Like he's also already made three moves that are super suspect. Like that one, obviously there was the Chris Doyle hire that was quickly erased, but people are not going to forget that. And then obviously the whole—I don't want to get into the Tebow stuff because obviously right. It's a little
it's a shit show. Stupid.
Yeah,
that one's so dumb.
I can honestly—I said this last night, and I wouldn't be shocked if this happens, but I wouldn't be shocked if we eventually see like a John Beilein effect with him, where he tries to run it like a college team, and then the players just don't like it. Like I'm not—he's going to last a year. It's just how much more beyond that will he be?
The big thing is going to be Lawrence, right? Trevor has to buy in, has to be good. But again, in order for him to buy in and be good, you need two things. You need to protect him and you need to give him weapons. And so like, yeah, you gave him the running back, fine. Yeah, you got him Walker Little, fine. But like, is Walker Little going to be healthy for this year? Like, yeah, he's coming off ACL surgery. He should be okay. But could you have gotten a better offensive tackle? Could you have gotten a better receiver? Could you have gotten someone else that would have been? So, you know, those are the questions. And I just think I am always against drafting a running back in the first round. I thought the Steelers, like Najee Harris at 24. Like, I get it. Najee Harris is a good running back. Very good running back. If you don't have guys that can block for him, it doesn't matter. And they don't. Their offensive line stinks and they didn't even draft an offensive lineman. Like, so that to me was just like, okay, the Steelers are dumb. Like, that was stupid. They had a need at running back, so they drafted a running back. Like, draft a running back in the third round. You don't need a running back right now. Like, draft someone else. Again, same team. Draft Tevin Jenkins. Draft someone else. Like, Villanueva's gone. Villanueva went to Baltimore, your division rival. So now what? Like, who do you have now? A tackle. Nobody. You have a bunch of bums. And so, you know, you're going to stink because – yeah, you drafted a first-round running back. Guess what? If he doesn't have an offensive line, it doesn't matter because he's going to stink no matter what. You know, it's just – it's stupid. It was dumb. And I agree with you. The ETN pick was just like – just dumb is what it was, you know?
Like, look at Michael Carter going to the Jets in the fourth round.
Right. Right. That's the whole point, right? It's like, yeah, you get Michael Carter, you get these guys. Like, it's just not – even the guy like Stevenson. I know Stevenson wasn't on a lot of people's radars, but like – Stevenson goes in the fourth round too. It's just like, that's what you're looking for. You're not looking for, you know, a guy in the first. It's just, it's so dumb. It's just not how the NFL is set up anymore. The NFL isn't set up like that anymore. That's not how the NFL, doesn't exist that way. It's not like, oh, we got our bell cow running back. No, nobody does that anymore. So.
No. But, there's like certain exceptions, obviously, but like for the most part, everyone's going to have a 1-2 punch.
Right. Correct. Yeah. Travis Henry's maybe the exception, but still, are you drafting a guy banging on his Travis Henry?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Derrick Henry.
It's all good. I let the Sam Bradford thing go. I was going to correct you again.
I'm living in the 90s.
It's all good.
Did I say Sam Bradford instead of Sam
Donald? Yes, you did.
Oh, my Lord, dude.
Pat, it's late. We'll get down here shortly. We will kind of get some sleep. But the only other thing I was going to say with the Stevens pick, I could already see a world where Damian Harris is the main running back, say, on your first and tens. But then say if he gets like a 6-7 yard gain, it's like second and 30. You need someone just to plow through for 3 yards to get a first down. That's where Stevens comes in. And then for pass pro, obviously.
Right. Yeah, we'll see, right? I don't know if he's going to even – well, I think the big question to me is Sony. If Sony's still on the team, Stevenson's probably going to be in street clothes all year long, similar to what James White was. Take a redshirt year and kind of go from there. Although he's already a good pass blocker, so like they don't need to necessarily teach him that. So that could spell him being on the field right away. I do think if Sony has any value at all, they should trade him because they're obviously not going to re-sign him.
Yeah, I think the money's going to go to Wynn.
Right. So, yeah,
if Wynn can stay healthy and have a good season, actually, excuse me, I think he's going to get paid. But if you had to ask me to pick between two Georgia Bulldogs, I think Isaiah Wynn's the one's getting paid.
Well, Wynn already got the fifth-year option. They already picked this fifth-year option up, and they didn't pick Sony's up. So Wynn's going to be on the team next year. I would think the Patriots will let that play out. I'd be shocked if they gave him an extension if he was healthy for this year, only because – unless he took a discount, because he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and so I wouldn't pay him until he can prove that he can stay healthy for a few years in a row. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and then what's week 18?
Miami.
They're in Miami. That's a loss. They're in Miami. Like, it's just, unfortunately, you play in Miami, end of the year, you lose. It's just what the Patriots do every year, every time they play down there, which stinks. But, like, you know, it's just, that's the way it goes, you know?
You know what that game smells to me like? Winner take all. Loser go home.
I mean, it certainly might.
One of the wild card spots.
Certainly might. And that would really suck if we had to play Miami in Miami to get a wild card spot and you end up losing. And then again, you get the 15th, 16th pick and you're like,
game 272.
Season was a waste, you know? So, but yeah, but we'll see. So, but I do think, right? Now, all right. So we get to Carolina. We're 7-2, right? You beat one of Tennessee or Cleveland, right? So there's 8-2. You beat Miami. There's nine, so then you have 3 losses, so 9-3. Pencil in a loss for Buffalo, so 9-4. I think they beat Indy, so ten and four. We'll give the Buffalo another loss, so 10-5. Then you beat Jacksonville, that's 11-5. Right now you're playing Miami with 11 wins, trying to get into the playoffs, and that could be it, right? 11-6 might not get you in the playoffs in the AFC.
Yeah.
Right. It's a good ass conference this year. So like I could see 11-6 not getting you in. And now you're going to Miami 11-5, Miami's 11-5 or something like that. And you're like, if we win, we're in, if we lose, we're out. And you're like, oh no. So that would be fascinating. That'd be interesting. And then that game, that's one of those games where then they get flexed to Sunday night, right? Then that's one of those, you know, that's one of the NFC East teams where it's like, okay, this team, you know, whoever wins gets in and whoever loses gets out, and you know you wait until the Sunday night game to kind of play that out as much as you can. So I don't feel good about it, I'll tell you that much.
Neither do I. It's just the Miami curse. Like 2019 obviously was the little asterisk because it was Miami was rebuilding, we beat them 43-0, and it was the beginning of the year. But 2017 was the Monday Night Football game. 2018, I don't like to talk about because it brings back bad memories. And then last year, obviously,
the Super Bowl. The only memory I have from 2018 is that they won the Super Bowl. Nothing happened. I had to pick up my daughter from Girl Scouts, and I was like, "Oh, good, all right, they won." And I went in to go pick up my daughter, and I got a text from like someone like, "Kill me" or something like that. And I was like, "What? Like, what are you talking about?" And I walked in. My dad was sitting in the car waiting for me, and I was like, "What happened?" And he was like, "We're never going to speak of this ever again." And I was like, "What? Like, what do you mean?" And then I went home and watched the replay. And Nicole was like, "Did you see it?" And I was like, "I was picking up Violet from Girl Scouts." And she was like, "I don't know if you want to watch it." And I was like, "I have to, you know." And then, oh God, I will say, Hank from Part of My Take was like, the day of was like the Super Bowl DVD is going to start with this play. Yeah. And they were like laughed at him, and they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, so that's what I always think of. Thanks to Hank Lockwood for that one.
Shout out, part of my take. Love the podcast, but like it's just how we see it. It's just Miami's always that elusive trap game. I know some players call it the South Beach flu. Fuck, Jason McCourty's gonna have like a game. He's gonna ruin our season and just like have like a game like ending interception.
Yeah,
or like a sack at like. Not exactly. He's got a game interception. Yeah. To lose. That's just how fate is when we play in Miami.
Right. Yep. Every time.
But the only thing a couple of things I was gonna add before we got out of here is with the AFC, I can see like we said, Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland, 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Fourth is whoever wins the South, which I think I'm going Indy just because like I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee took a step back just because of Arthur Smith being gone.
Yeah. I can see that. Again, Indy. The question with Indy is you know, what are you going to get from Carson Wentz? If you get decent Carson Wentz, you can absolutely win that division. They got a good enough defense to do it. Yep. If you get bad Carson Wentz, they're in lots of trouble. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, because Arthur Smith, like I said, with Tennessee, but Arthur Smith left. Which fun fact? His father is actually the founder of FedEx.
Look at that. Well, Arthur Smith not hurting for money.
Nope, not at all. But I can like the only reason I was getting at that was because I can see like fourth, the fifth, 5, 6, 7 being like a combination of say I think Baltimore gets one of those.
Yep.
And then I could see it being either LA, Miami, us, or Pittsburgh and Tennessee, like finishing and then rounding out kind of like 8 and 9. Like,
yeah.
Like,
I mean that's a tough because you're right. So you got the AFC East winner, AFC North winner, AFC West winner, AFC South winner. Okay, so you got four teams right there. So yeah. Great. So we know, you know, we don't know for sure, but we assume, like you said, Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland, and then whether it's Tennessee or Indy, either way, the second of those teams is going to be tough,
yeah.
Right? So you're looking at it thinking, okay, whichever team from the South doesn't win the division is going to be tough. Then you get the Patriots. Then you get the Dolphins. You're already at seven teams now at this point, right? Now you're talking about the Raiders, who knows, right, what we're going to get from the Raiders. But
talk about a gutted O-line.
I know. The Ravens, the Steelers, who I think is going to stink. But they'll be in the hunt probably for a while. So, yeah. Like, that's 10 teams right there. Like, you know, now, and I didn't even mention the Chargers. So it's like, so now you got 11 teams fighting for seven spots. And yeah, of course, like things are going to play out throughout the year that, you know, we think that team's going to be good and all of a sudden they're not good. But that's why, man, like 11-6 might not get you into the playoffs, which would suck for whoever finishes 11-6 and misses the playoffs. But like that would suck, you know? And so it's going to be a very competitive conference, I think.
Oh, no, for sure. But then like there's like the lower tiers of everything. And then even with the Raiders too, I think they miss, and Mike Mayock's the one who's the person hung out to dry, and he gets fired, and he's back at the NFL Network by the combine.
I mean, at a certain point, the problem is that can you even bring that guy back to the NFL Network? Like, he's not a draft expert. And after what he's done in Oakland or Vegas, I guess now, he's not a draft expert at this point. Like, you're just not. And like, you know, the guys at 2-4 in draft said it perfectly. Like, they hit singles. Like, that's what they do, right? Yeah. You get in the first round, you hit singles. Like, Cleveland Farrell, decent player. He's a good player. They drafted him number 4 overall. Like, what are you doing? Right? Like, you drafted Alex Leatherwood at 17 overall. Alex Leatherwood. Like,
because Tom Cable loves him.
He was offensive tackle 7, and you drafted him 17th overall. Like, you could have gotten him at your pick in the second round. You know? So, like, that's one of those things. And listen, there are supposedly people say, oh, you know, he would have gotten drafted in the first round. People liked them. Like, maybe they did, but you could have gotten someone just as good as him in the second round. You know, it's just not. So to me, I just thought like, that's crazy, you know, and they did it again. I mean, they are, you know, the consensus board, the Athletics consensus board, right, where they take like 150 different boards or whatever. They're consistently reaching on that consensus board over and over and over again every year. And those guys aren't impact players. Again, they're fine. They're decent players, but they're not impact players winning them the division or winning them games. It's just, it's a mess over there. And I agree with you. If they don't make the playoffs this year, I don't see how Mike Mayock has a job next year. I just don't see it.
I only said the NFL Network thing just because it's like, look, you can bring him back as people kind of like his analysis, but you're right. Like, all he's done is draft out of the big schools expecting, hey, look, he went to Clemson, he went to Bama, he went to Ohio State. He's going to be a good NFL player, which may or may not be the case. So, like, we're still waiting on Damon Arnett. We're still waiting on Jacobs is a good running back, but Kenyon Drake kills.
Yeah.
Like, kills that for fantasy value and his playing
so
time.
So bizarre.
Yeah, like, it's strange. It's drawing. I think it's just like Mark Davis. He's a cheap owner. Like, obviously, that's a very broad statement because obviously he's not not cheap in that sense. But obviously, like we know the stories with the old minivan, the flip phone, the weekly haircuts, and then the PF Chang's bill. But he's gonna keep Gruden because he's not gonna pay Gruden $60 million not to coach his team. So It's like, look, he threw Reggie McKenzie under the bus and built his team. Like, I think, honestly, it's John Gruden calling the shots. Mike Mayock's just a face that gets put out from the media.
That could certainly be the case.
Yeah. Because it was Pro Football. It was Mike Florio who said from Pro Football Talk, we haven't really heard from Gruden since the draft.
No. Yeah. No. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's an interesting team to watch. Because certainly if that blows up in their face, you know, I almost if I'm a Raiders fan, I almost hope it does, because then Carr doesn't get re-signed.
Yeah,
you get one of those quarterbacks next year. Like, then you can start rebuilding, and kind of see where it goes. And you know, who knows if that'll happen or not. But if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm almost hoping for a disaster, because there's no way this team can really compete with some of these teams. And you know, if they're good again this year, Derek Carr gets the big extension.
Yeah.
And so it's like, do you really want to give Derek Carr the big extension? Like, I don't. And so, you know, that's the hard part, because he's still on his rookie deal. Is he not? Right. Isn't he?
He's on he's on his second contract, but it's not worth
it. Oh yeah.
Like,
but it's not,
crazy
it's not huge. It's not huge. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's not,
it's like Kelsey.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. So let's see. Well, yeah. He signed a 5-year, 125, but still, 5-year, 125.
It's 25.
And he's got 2 years left. So, yeah. So he's got 2 years left this year.
I still think they're going to get off to like a 3-1 start, and then they go like 4-6 down the stretch.
Right. Which, by the way, zero dead cap next year for them. So, like, that's why it's like, if he stinks this year, you can move him and literally have zero dead cap next year. That's
so Aaron Rodgers, Vegas quarterback 2022. Got it.
Hey, you know,
I'd rather that than the Broncos, to be honest, because Broncos are just a team I've never really had any like or admiration for. And I still believe that John Elway purposely brings in mediocre quarterbacks. So he's always the greatest Bronco of all time.
Maybe outside of Peyton Manning, I guess, right?
Exactly. And on that note, the only thing I'm going to say is, I know Manning seems now like he's been more attached to the Broncos than the Colts. I pray to God that does not happen with our beloved.
No, no chance. No chance. Because there's no chance that happens.
I think he'll come back and sign like a one-day contract and retire with like.
Yeah, Brady. I think so. I mean, you know, Manning also played, what, 13, 14, 15.
Six four seasons.
Right? Didn't he play four seasons there? So
yes.
And I guess theoretically Brady could play four seasons in Tampa, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. I don't know if I buy into that. You know,
I think it's gonna be after next year. I think, you know what, 22, yeah. Because he'll play till he's 45, like he's always said, and then I think he'll
And that'll be the end of that, yeah.
And then Kyle Trask takes over.
Oh God. Good luck with that, Tampa.
Well, so that's their life.
Yep.
Well, anyway, Pat, it's been a blast getting to talk to you today, again to catch up. Yeah. We looked at the schedule. It's 4 months away, but I know I always say this. The NFL is like a year round thing, but I feel like this is the time of year where it's like in quotes slow. Like, it's not slow, but it's like not as heavy news pace. Where
right? Well, that's the thing. Leading up to the draft, right? It's like nonstop. You know, you're looking at rookies, you're looking at prospects, where are they going to go, what's going to happen, who are they going to draft, who are they going to sign, who are they going to, all this other stuff. And then the draft happens, and then you're like, Okay. Training camps in 3 months. All right, here comes, here's the countdown. Like, now what do you talk about? Like, who's gonna win in training camp? I guess, but like,
yeah,
the guys are already on the team. They're not gonna get anyone else. I mean, unless they trade for someone, like, they're not gonna get anyone else. So it's kind of like the team is set. Now we're just waiting for them to all show up at camp. So so you're right, Liz, it's definitely the slow time.
Yeah, exactly. And even like when I say the slow time, like, it's just a good opportunity to like kind of, you know, kind of like mellow out for a bit and like not be so into it. But then at the same time, too, hey, who knows? Drake Kirkpatrick could sign a contract tomorrow and he's the next cornerback for the Pats.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Never know.
Wouldn't be mad at that. Yeah. We need depth.
We do. And especially with J-Mac on, you know, like we mentioned. So, yeah, they're going to need someone for sure.
100%. Well, anyway, folks, that's going to do it for episode 91 of YWC Football Talk. Road to 100 continues. I'll make it there sooner than later. But anyway, guys, just a big thanks again once to Pat Lane. You can find him on Twitter at PLane_Pats.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Been on your page enough times to know what it is. But anyway, Pat, thank you for coming on, and I'll see you folks next time here on YWC Football Talk. Good night, everyone.
See you guys.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast, NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.